Happy Friday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you from the ultimate undisclosed location default route on this glorious P-Funk travel day. You know, I was just thinking, P-Funk travel day is a thing. I've done it so much, and it has such a impact on me as far as getting myself motivated, how much I enjoy it, what it does to how I'm feeling, looking forward to it, anticipation. The travel, the actual travel is important. Of course, it's for people. Like people say, you know, I've been traveling all around the world for the funk. And true, it's because of P-Funk. And true, it was because of P-Funk that I dropped a half a grand to go to Paisley Park to see him. I would not have probably ever went to Paisley Park if it wasn't for P-Funk. So I do travel for P-Funk. Europe, Australia, Japan, I've done it. It was for P-Funk, but it wasn't only for P-Funk. There's no doubt about it. I probably would not have made these trips, at least to the degree that I have, if it wasn't for Parliament Funkadelic. My love, infatuation, association of the philosophy and the music being such a big part of me. However, the travel part plays a major role in all this too. It's like I get to go all around the world and see all these many places that I wanted to see anyway, that I wanted to experience in my life anyway, to see how things are over there, to see, to compare this, compare that, and to be on the street as a quote unquote normal local person to a degree, as much as I can. And granted, it's only for a short point of time. You know, it's not like I'm going over there. One of my ideas, I wouldn't say dreams or bucket list or anything, would be to spend like a month or a couple weeks in Europe in one place. And just to see, you know, to get a vibe, a deeper vibe of the local culture. So the travel is important. Sure, seeing the band and celebrating that travel. It's like I get to go to Paris and see Paris and Eiffel Tower and the Museum Rodin and Napoleon's tomb and all the places that I went. Champs-Élysées, Arc de Triomphe, I passed by the Louvre, all of that. And then that night I get to go see P-Funk. I mean, what the hell else is it? They get to eat the food, get to enjoy the culture, New Orleans, wherever. And then that night I get to top it off and celebrate it, seeing that goddamn band. So the travel plays a very big part in all this. A big part. And sometimes I get more up for the travel than I do actually seeing the band. Like we're going to Vegas today. Hell, I went to Vegas 2-3 weeks ago, to see Garrett Scheider and Norwood Fisher. But mostly Garrett Scheider. And that's P-Funk. That was a P-Funk travel day. And it's the whole thing, the hotel, getting the car, strategizing how I'm gonna go from work, I'm gonna fly, ground transportation, do our Uber, websites, Google Flights, booking.com, all of that, carrental.com, rentalcar.com, then going to the airline site, actually booking the tickets there. And I'm registered for, like, you know, most of the airlines. And I'm registered mostly for everything. Hertz rental cars. They use AAA. Travel. They get seem to get a little better rate. A little better rate every now and then. But one thing about the travel thing that I am starting to notice, and I'm trying not to notice, I'm trying to be ignorant of it, is the fact that maybe, possibly, there are better deals on other websites at any given time. And I do not want to entertain that idea. I do not want that to be a reality. I just want to use booking.com. I just want to use my standard set of websites and go from there. And even if I pay a few dollars more by not searching and comparing the price lines and the Expedias and the blah, 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 even though I may spend a little bit more, it's not worth the effort of checking all these sites until I find a way I can do it. Maybe use AI or something, but AI only is good for a year ago. AI is only current, isn't current up to date. Because we was going to the Laker game. We wanted to go see the Lakers and Clippers. We was looking for tickets. And I ain't sitting in no nosebleed, so I was gonna spend some money. And I found, you know me, I'm Ticketmaster. I don't mess around. NFL games, I don't mess around. StubHub, forget it. SeatGeek, nope. Vivid Seats, nope. Nope, I don't. I want to remain ignorant to that. I only want to use Ticketmaster and go the best route there, whatever best deal I get there, settle for that. I don't want to have to be looking at all these websites and comparing this, comparing that, jump between here and there. To me, again, it might be worth paying a little bit extra not to have to go through that, not to have to even have that on my radar. But we were going to the Laker game, and I did find better seats than Ticketmaster on some kind of Vivid Seats or something like that, one of those websites. It was a better price for better seats than what Ticketmaster had. And that tipped over the apple cart. That tipped over the apple cart. That right there said, oh boy, now you should be checking on these other sites when you start looking for tickets. But nope, I'm going with the NFL verified. But if it does say verified, you know, on the site, it's verified, instant ticket. If it says verified instant, you know, you can count on it. You're not gonna get ripped off or anything. You know, anything I might be worried about a issue to, you know, transition the tickets. I worry about getting ripped off, more of a technical error or technical problem or something like that. Administration issue, not so much getting ripped off, but Ticketmaster, that's why I used to go to all my tickets. Just go straight to them. Got the app on my phone. So I just work it that way. So P-Funk Travel Day is a thing. P-Funk Travel Day is a thing. And once again, I'm led to, or driven, or attracted, or impulsed to thank George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic again for providing me that opportunity to have people. I mean, because there was a time a few years ago when I was saying, these fuckers touring too goddamn much. What the fuck? I mean, like, they like touring like 300 days a year or something like that. And I know the band likes that. So I get that pull. You know, I get that understanding. Because they're getting paid. And I want them to get paid. I want, you know, people to be happy and successful. And I do love seeing the band. But there was a couple times there I was like, damn, y'all just left. And following them ain't easy. Following that band is not easy. Even all I do is drive and see the show. It's not easy. Like Mr. Curry told me, if you was to get on the mothership, you ain't got time to watch the show. You got to do your job. Like the bus driver, he don't watch the show. He sleeps. You know, doing the show, he getting sleep or he doing something else. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I don't want no parts of that. I don't want no parts of that where the band is playing, the show is going on, and I can't watch it, or I can't let it distract me, or I got to do my job. No, that's not worth it. To me, no, that's absolutely, unequivocally not worth it. I want no parts of that, none. The music, I worship the music. I worship the music and the ideology. And it's like I said, it's to the point that I worship it, or it means so much to me, or whatever you want to call it, that I don't listen to it in my spare time. I can't. It's too distracting. It gets me going. It gets me too energized. It gets me too excited. So when I do hear it out in public, when I go to the Funkadelic Ball and Pete Funk is playing everywhere, the DJ playing at the Friday night thing, or before the show, when I hear Pete Funk on loud public address systems or big speakers, it just drives me crazy. I just let it go all through my body. Those are my moments. In fact, today, I was listening to a reel. Somebody posted a reel for their show. Ole Niro retweeted or re-shared Barry Chenault's reel for the Kobe, their show, Osho, Friday at Kobe Steakhouse. See, I'm giving you a plug. And they use Unfunky UFO as the background music. Silly me, I wore a smile. My composure was so secure. And on silly grin from ear to ear. A smile they saw right through. Oh, but then like a streak of lightning, it came. And I listened to that like 10 times. I listened to it over 10 times. And you know what else I noticed? He said, Mr. Clinton goes, but then like a streak of lightning, it came. That then. I was saying, but like a streak of lightning. No. But then like a streak of lightning, it came. I've listened to this song for 80 million years. And I'm laying in the bed today, listening to a reel of a loop of it. And I heard then, that word then. But then like a streak of lightning, it came. Because I used to always say, but like a streak of lightning. But then like a streak of lightning, it came. That's what the music means to me. That's how much I worship and idolize the music. The music and the ideology. And I thank the creators of this music for putting this philosophy together. A philosophy that over these years have withstood the scrutinization and summarization and critical observation at a level that Jeffrey Scott Mitchell can go to in dissecting anything, especially something that he believes in or stands behind or wear on his back or want or has no problem allowing that to represent him or be a part of that. Which leads me to, I need to get a copy. I've been saying this for probably a decade, over 10, 15, maybe 2 years. I got to get a copy of Glory Hall is Stupid and read the liner notes. I got to read that story again. I got to read the story of Glory Hall is Stupid again, because in 1983, when it was the Egg Tour, or the, I don't know what they call it, the Popsicle Tour, one of those. It was the Glory Hall is Stupid Tour, the Anti Tour, or whatever. when Mr. Payne came out of that egg, and it was like my second, I think this might have been my second show, P-Funk show that I saw, but it was the first one, Warren Packer Music Hall, 1983, or 82, one of those. It was a first show when I was able to actually be close enough to observe what was going on. I think I might have been 10, 15 feet from the stage, standing right there. And I was able to see and hear the music, because my first show was Motor Booty Affair, and it was just too overwhelming. It was either in Pittsburgh or Cleveland, Pittsburgh Civic Arena or Cleveland thing, whatever, one of those. Richfield Coliseum, something like that, one of those old ones. And it was huge. And I remember seeing, you know, the effect of them being underwater and all that. But it was just too big to me. You know, it was just too, it was overwhelming. And I do kind of remember, you know, pieces of it. And on the same note, I think the same people who sponsored that trip, a bunch of us from Youngstown, got on the bus and rode up there. You know, like a church or something. Not a church, somebody sponsored it. Some group sponsored it. You know, and people we knew. Some people I knew, some people I didn't, you know. Got on the bus and we went to see it. Went up there to see Parliament. But the first, they did another trip. I think the first concert that I remember doing that, you know, really going to see as a person old enough to take it in was to see Earth, Wind & Fire. They had a, I do believe there was a trip like that to see Earth, Wind & Fire. This had to be early 70s, you know, ago. I think that was my first one. But my first concert memories was James Brown and Smokey Robinson, separate shows at South High Field House. It's the old football field. I don't know if y'all know what field houses are, but it's basically a football field, high school football field. It's still there. You know, the remnants of it are still there. I got pictures of it even. And I went back there. And James Brown came. I Googled and found, you know, documentation of that. Smokey Robinson, I remember seeing them. Smokey Robinson the Miracles was there. My mother took us. And I was young. That's probably, what, 7, 8, 9 or something like that. And I went. So, you know, that's the history of that. Not sure why I went down that road, but I was talking about the anti-tour and Mr. Payne coming out of that egg. I still want to better understand the story. I even asked him. I was like, what is that about? He said to him, it was about this. I was like, no, I don't think it's that. I'm thinking to myself, no, that's not what I want to get out of it. But I definitely want to explore that again, because that show, I was, I guess, inexperienced or green or whatever to the whole show business, to the whole thing. That during the show, and I remember this vividly, and I tell this story over and over, but I remember this vividly. Him fucking with the band, messing with the mics, messing stuff up, and it truly irritated me. It truly irritated. I was hollering at him, stop! Because the music and the thing was so precious to me, I didn't want any of it disrupted. I just wanted it. I mean, this was see, back then, this was before I had seen him over and over a bunch of times. This, to me, in my mind, this could be the last time I've ever seen him. My second time. See it, probably. You know, as far as I'm looking at it, this could be like my last time ever seeing a band. You know, I might not ever get to see him again, let alone, you know, I mean, might not have to see him for a long time, let alone ever again. So every little drop was so precious. That's how much the music, that's how much the music affected me. How much, you know, I've studied and worshiped it. And just since Mothership Connection, I mean, it was just, I was, oh, it just meant so, so much to me. And he was fucking with people, messing with stuff, and it was like pushing him away. I was like, what is he, high? He on drugs? Get his drunk ass off of stage. Get his fucked up ass. I was hot. Then that son of a bitch came out the egg, fucked me up. Completely fucked me up. Completely. Cause he had me. I bought in. I was like, fuck him, get him out of here. It aggravated me. And then having come out of age, I was like, oh my God, Jeffrey. Oh my God, Jeffrey. Oh my God. And I still wanna, and I've had the album cover. I've had the album. I'm sure I read it. It's a lot of writing and it's like in a circle. You get Mr. Lloyd drew that where you got like read it in a circle or something, and it's a couple pages. But I wanna pull that. In fact, I saw that liner. Somebody had it. I think Donna Sneed had it on her table. And I wanted to buy it. At the Funketeers Ball. But when I'm out these places, and the way I travel, I don't have a carry-on. I don't have nothing. So taking stuff back with me is a real chore. So there's a lot of stuff I would love to buy there, but I'm gonna have to start buying stuff and having it shipped or figure out something. Like that time I took the parking sign from Paisley Park and I had to cut it up to get it in my suitcase and stuff. I still got it. But stuff like that, posters, things, you know, because do I take a carry-on? I'm trying to think, do I take a carry-on when I go to Funketeers Ball? Will I take a carry-on for 3 days? Or might not? I might not have to take a carry-on. The new me, the new Travel Jeffrey, the updated version, I got it broken all the way down. But anyhow, I do, and I'm not sure if I got that record in storage. I gave all my records away because they seem primitive and outdated. That technology seemed primitive and outdated to me. In fact, I got out the record player and I hooked it up. I was doing stuff and just watching it. Watching a record spin around with a needle on it. Seemed like the Flintstones or something. It seemed so primitive. And I was like, ugh. You know, this ain't cool. This is like, just watch it go around and listening to it. I'm just like, it just felt primitive, prehistoric. So I gave all my records away. And I was at CDs. Had some cassettes and CDs. But by the time I get records away, I was at CDs. And hell, starting to go into MP3s. I probably was after Napster. So when Napster was out, I downloaded every freaking song I could find. I still got copies of that stuff too. And even now those are archived. Don't even need those anymore. On Spotify, $9.99 a month. Or $10.99, whatever they charge it now. Every song in the world, right there. And some will say, well, not every song, but enough of every song to satisfy my whims. And they got podcasts, too. I mean, they got podcasts and audiobooks. So I'm like, and I'm talking about good audiobooks, too. Audiobooks that Audible be charging $10 for. I'm like, I mean, I know the artists are suffering and they get pit. Another thing about the artists in Spotify. Yeah, you gotta have 10 billion listens, you know, for your music, for you to make money. But they're listens, they're not purchases. A person can listen to your song 10 times in one day. So listens are not purchases. Sure, you'll get X amount of dollars if somebody actually paid for your record. But that's a hell of a big difference than having your music just played. There's a hell of a difference. So that's why you do need to have millions and billions or millions or whatever, so many listens. They're listens, they're not purchases. So that part I get. Then eventually, musicians and the industry and the whole thing will get it all figured out and get it worked out. Because right now, the model they got going, the subscription services, ain't nobody buying no music no more. What the hell am I gonna buy music for? I ain't even got nothing to play it on. What do I'm gonna buy? Buy a CD? Cars don't even have CD players no more. I'm gonna buy MP3 and put it where? Buy MP3 and put it where? No, it's no sense. It's no sense in buying music anymore. It's not practical. Now, what I need to do, and I'll even say I need to do, and I feel almost responsible for doing, and I almost feel obligated to do, is to directly support the artist. It's to learn. I've developed a sense, and I think that humanity will eventually develop a sense to where it becomes norm to just to contribute money to an artist. You know, your favorite artist ever, to send them $30 every now and then, $50, you know. Donate, or even buy merch, you know, even though you know it's overpriced, or just contribute money to it. You know, that's how we're going to have to understand, that's how we support these artists. And the reason we support these artists is because they keep giving us the music that we love. And especially with me and P-Funk, where I have no other place to go, I need them. You know, and I feel like I should be doing a lot more than just buying tickets and traveling all over the world. For what they give me, for what I got back from that band, remember when I was using that whole P-Funk thing as a role model, as a teenager, the traveling and meeting them and all over the world, and this and that and that and this, and you know, everything that I've gotten from that, my P-Funk experience and association, I owe them. I feel like I owe them. I spend, you know, $200 a ticket, you know, X amount of hundreds of dollars to travel to see them. And, you know, more than once I've been told, you know, thank you for your support. You know, thank you for your support. And I'm like, support? I didn't even get it at first. Support? I'm like, thanking y'all for doing this. Me paying this money, it's the least I can do. I'm like, support? How am I supporting? But I guess buying a ticket. I mean, me doing what comes naturally is seen as support, and I don't even see it that way. You know, other people have said it, fans have said it, band members, you know, thank me for this and for that. I'm like, what? Maybe because I think, or in my mind, deep in my subconscious mind, I feel like we're all in this together. We're on the same team. It's like if a teammate say, thanks for your support. Or a family member tell you, thank you a little bit too hard. Like, you're not part of this. Like, if a team member or family or friend or something, thank you to a degree that there's to the point that where they seem surprised that you're participating. And you're like, wait a minute, we're all in this together. maybe, you know, that's where I'm at. Because I sure don't see me as, you know, buying these tickets, flying to Kansas City. Flying to Kansas City, see people on my birthday. How am I? That ain't support. They supporting me. That's Jeffrey support. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for all the fans that come out to buy tickets to help the band do that so they can play on my birthday. Thank everything involved in that whole process that enables that band to play so I can go see them on my birthday and have the time that I had sitting front row motherfucking center. Mr. Clinton put on his jersey. I put mine on too, damn it. I saw him put that jersey on. I was like, well, damn it. Because I don't put my jersey on all the time. I got to be moved to put it on. I used to wear it all the time. But I got to be moved now. I just wear my LA Maggots shirt. And I represent that. But I don't put my B-Funk shirt on unless I'm moved to do so. And he put that Chiefs jersey on. I was like, let me throw my shit on. I mean, just to have that. But I guess I am supporting him. You know, it's a win-win. That's a good, then that would be a good symbiosis and symbosis, whatever the word is, where the relationships work together, where I'm getting what I want and need and willfully contribute, and they getting something from it. It's a good relationship. Works for me. Works for me. Support? Me? I just buy tickets and go to shows. What are you talking about? I probably, if anything, I probably could buy more merch. But I ain't gonna buy merch just to be buying it. I gotta like it. I gotta see something that moves me. Like, I was looking at the shirt today. I mean, the shirt the other night. And it said Cosmic Slop, 1973 or something like that. But the font was in some kind of Chinese food lettering. I was like, why is Cosmic Slop on the front of this t-shirt look like chopsticks Chinese kung fu lettering? I even asked the merch guy, Clip Sun. Who thought of that? And he told me. I'm like, whose idea was that? On Chinese chopsticks, like in a circle. What the hell? That should be some kind of American 1960, 1970 font. Like those black exploitation font things. Chinese chopstick. I'm like, I'm going to take a picture of it. Next time I go, I'm going to take a picture. See, that aggravated me in a joyful way, in a very pleasurable way. I was aggravated in a very pleasurable way. I was like, okay, I look at the coloring and stuff. You know, what they choose to highlight, the wordings that they choose to use, what they want to emphasize, you know, and the layout of it. And I'm looking, and nothing really strikes me. Nothing. If it strikes me, I'd buy it right there on the spot. But nothing really gets me. It doesn't jump out at me. Now, when I'm walking around and I see people with their shirts on, and I see some custom-made shirts, homemade shirts, you know, whatever people made or had made, I said, whoa, where you get that from? Now, some of those will get my attention. I said, let me see what's on the back. What's on the back? Some of those will get me. And the style of those You get me? And another thing, I was at the merch table and there was a line. It was like people were standing in a long line to get them shirts. They was just selling them. People just wanted the merch. I mean, my God. People just wanted. This was before the show, of course. I'm just joking. I remember the days, though, when the shows weren't that good. Whatever that not that good meant. Whatever not that good means. And by that, I have to acknowledge that people are going to feel the shows differently. Even band members. Some people sent the same show. Some people think it's good. Some people think it's the best. Some people think it's the worst. Some people say, I ain't never coming to see him again. Some people say, I don't like the way that came together. And they say, oh, you know what show I like? Even band members, you know what show I like? I like this show. I was like, really? I was like, ooh. You know, I find that, you know, it comes down with like, what hits you, what resonates with you. You know, how the weed hit you at what time. And just, you know, how was your day at work? All that plays a part. You know, is it raining outside? Your sinus is acting up. You got a migraine, headache, whatever. All that plays a part. And how the show, you know, you feel about the show. Is your seat right? You know, is your wife late? All that. So, and people be in line to buy them, you know. And like, if the show ain't no good, afterwards, you don't expect to see people out there buying shirts and souvenirs if they weren't happy with it. That's kind of why I went down that road. But, you know, that's all behind us now. That's all behind us now. Because this band is playing some good fucking music right now. They're playing some good fucking music. It may not have the energy and the wildness and the just close your eyes like you in church, go crazy, ginger, ginger, ginger. It may not get to that anymore. But the orchestration of it and the way it's played can almost be sometimes too clean. Not enough mischief, not enough disruption or calamity or, you know, not enough. You know, that I may miss because we are old. We are getting old. And I'm actually thinking now, can we still do that anymore? Can we get back to that anymore? I think one time it got off the rails at the LA show. It got off the rails and kind of got like that. And even Mr. Clinton didn't know what to do. And I'm standing with Ole and it just got, it was just, and it was good. It was quote unquote bad, but it was good. It was just, they were just pounding. They were just jumping up and down and the band was just pounding on it. Kind of missed some of that. And that energy just kind of took off and the rhythm is there and it's almost like a noise. You know, it just goes into like a whole different kind of thing where you get kind of lost in the noise and the energy and the motion and momentum of it all. But anyway, P-Funk Travel Day. I do love this band. I love the band. Again, I cannot understate my appreciation. I cannot overstate my appreciation for Mr. George Clinton. I've been, you know, probably fighting it for decades, giving any one person or anybody their flowers, so to speak, because shit ain't over. You still got work to do. I ain't finished yet. You ain't finished yet. I still want more. Now, I may have given up on getting new music, new funk music that's gonna move me. I may have given up on getting that from George Clinton and Brian McFunkadelic, but But even that, I've taken to understand it. It's time for the clones and the children of production, us, to come up, to develop and move it. It's not on Mr. Clinton anymore to come up with something new. They did it. He did it. They created it. The Mothership Connection, Bootsy, Mr. Worrell, Mr. Clinton, all them, that whole era, created the sound, and they're maintaining it by touring. And Mr. Clinton being the face of it in the hip hop era, to keep it not relevant, but to keep making money off of it, to keep the kids listening to it, the face of it, so that the Ice Cubes and the Snoop Dogs can bring it to another audience. And that, they've done their part. They've done more than enough. And it's the time for us, LA Maggots. In fact, we got a song. I need to call Charlie Lake about that shit now. To where they'd be wanting to wait till you get it right, get it right, get it right. And it should never go nowhere. Put it out half broken. I figure put it out half broken. It's better than not putting out, waiting 2 years, 8 years, and not going out at all. Or there's an argument that could be made. If you're putting it out unperfected now, it might be better than waiting till it's maybe even perfecting it. May make it worse. But either way, you know what I mean. Decision has to be made about the production of music. I'm sure throughout any art form, creation, or even production, manufacturing. When do we put this out? When do we release this? And that discussion is going to go on for eternity. So, Anyway, we got a song. I like it. I did it. I did a lot of work on it, too. I produced it. I think I did. I put it together. I did it in my house. They contribute lyrics, people sang, played the music. You know what I mean? They did it. We did it. I contributed. People contributed. It was definitely a team thing. I didn't do it all myself. My part is definitely worthy of recognition. Everybody's part plays a part. It was a truly team effort. The song is pretty good too. Shit, I think it is. But anyway, that's what I said. So we need to. It's on us now. Seed was planted, they planted the seed and they keep it alive. He's done everything he needs to do. Now he can just say, kiss my ass, I'm gonna play what I wanna play. And if he wanna play, a whole lot of shaking going on. Fact. It would be fun to hear him play, hear him sing, a whole lot of shaking again, because we used to hate that song. And he played it. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Oh my God, they would play it every night too. He would play it every night. And we used to hate it. Now I want to hear it. So he played a whole lot of shaking. That'd be fun. That'd be really, really fun to hear. Anyhow, my name is Jerry Scott Mitchell. And I'm swinging on y'all 2 times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that's ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.